everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I'm Kenneth Amadori. I'm really excited to be speaking to you guys today and introducing to you a trend that I feel is very early stage, an opportunity to expose ourselves to, you know, where the puck is going to be, not where the puck is now. Obviously, that's the Wayne Gretzky quote, and it's pertinent for investing, right? And in the U.S., plant-based sales grew by 31.3% between 2017 and 2019. That was according to Forbes. And this is happening for a multitude of reasons. Obviously, some people are doing it for ethical purposes. People are eating less meat for that purpose. But there's also the component of health. People are discovering that eating and consuming less meat is good for reducing cancer, heart disease, diabetes, all these different things. And people want to be healthy. They want to live longer. And that's what has me excited too, that, hey, this is an early stage thing, because when it comes to our health, there's really no ceiling in terms of how far this will go. This is like technology. Technology will continue to exponentially grow because there's no end to that demand, efficiency, and on the health side, wanting to live a vivacious life. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you to Mitchell Scott. I had a great conversation with him. It was already recorded, so you're going to enjoy this interview. He's the CEO of The Very Good Butchers, the Very Good Food Company. The ticker symbol is on the CSE is VERY, Very, and on the U.S. side, which is more available to U.S. investors, is VRYYF. So check those out. I had a deep dive conversation with him. They're offering approachable, nutritious meat alternatives, great product, great taste. They've really cracked the code on a great substitute for the meat that everybody loves. People love the taste of meat, but you know, how could they consume a little less? They've really cracked the code on that, and they're growing exponentially. And still very new, brand new IPO. So let's get into it. Mitchell Scott, CEO of The Very Good Butcher. Well, I got to tell you, Mitchell, reviewing your company, I was reminded how conditioned we are as a society to eat meat. Our breakfasts, our lunches, our dinners are all centered around red meat, white meat, chicken, fish. And it really is something that is so ingrained in our culture and now our habits. And so talk to us a little bit. As humans, people crave the taste of a great burger, charred steak, and butter. You know, talk to us a little bit about how the start of this company came about.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that kind of craving for for animal-based products is kind of how we got started. So basically, my co-founder James, as a classically trained French chef, he'd been cooking for about 13 years from England originally. And he moved to this little island here on the west coast of Canada called Demon Island. And at the, around the same time he turned vegan, he went plant-based, for a number of reasons, including, ethical, environmental, health reasons. So he'd gone vegan and he got to this island and there was no restaurants there. There wasn't anywhere for him to work. At the same time, he was also realizing that, he's starting to miss the taste of meat. He looked at a lot of the alternatives on the market and he wasn't really happy with them. He found they were very processed. They didn't taste great. They had a bunch of junk in them. And he didn't feel comfortable feeding it to his family, basically. So he kind of combined the two, and it got decided to get a little bit entrepreneurial. So he just went into his kitchen for about a month and just started playing around. He decided he'd make his own meat alternatives. And he came out of it with two products, a classic burger and then English breakfast sausages. I took him to the local farmer's market on Demon, and they were a hit, sold out in the first hour. So that summer he'd spend the weeks making these products in his kitchen with his wife, and then selling out every weekend at the farmer's market. So that was the summer of 2016. And that's actually when I tried the products as well at a family barbecue. So I'm distantly related to James. My sister is married to his wife's brother. So we're, stepbrothers-in-law once removed or something. I'd grown up vegetarian, so I'd actually had a lot of, not very great veggie burgers growing up. I tasted these products. I was blown away just by the texture, by the taste. I was like, holy crap, these are delicious. So we decided to team up. And I'll just give you a super kind of brief overview of the past couple years if that works. Or
sure.
Okay. So we decided to team up and kind of see where we could take this, this little meat thing. So we our first event was kind of, it was in Victoria, which is kind of the next big city from this island. We showed up with our coolers full of meat, and it was like a Christmas market, like an indoor Christmas market. Once again, had a great response, had hundreds of people show up, sold out as well. While we were there, we noticed they had a full-time retail space available, and we kind of just decided to go for it. A few months later, we opened the first vegan butcher shop on the west coast of Canada. So that was February of 2017. We had about 1,000 people show up on our opening week or opening day, and we actually had to shut down for a week after that just to restock everything. And then since then, we've just been struggling to keep up with demand for our products and to continue growing and scaling the business. So we did a Kickstarter campaign. We were on Dragon's Den, which is like the Canadian version of Shark Tank. We were on Front Funder. Most recently, we had our IPO. And I guess our whole approach is with the Very Good Butchers is just to create that high quality meat experience like you might see when you go into a butcher shop. So we have a retail butcher shop where you can come and get your meats and cheeses, you know, sliced by the 100 grams. We have a fast casual restaurant attached to it that highlights the products. So burgers, deli sandwiches, mac and cheese. And then we sell online direct to consumer. So we've got a subscription box, you know, we're shipping out thousands of boxes a week. We're in grocery stores. We're in about 200 stores on the west coast of Canada. And right now, currently, our big problem is just capacity. We can't produce enough product. We're having to limit online orders. We're having to say no to retailers. So the big kind of impetus towards this IPO was so that we could access, you know, the public markets, raise some capital, and then continue expanding, continue growing, and really help us accelerate that growth and become, you know, a major player in the meat alternative space.
Well, that's an amazing story you guys have there, and it's a testament to show that the demand is there, that the meat is literally flying off the shelves, the food. So, Mitchell, talk to us a little bit about what's going on with this trend. Is it more vegans? Is it people just adding more plant-based foods to their diets? Again, you know, I grew up in the 90s where, you know, people went to McDonald's, didn't really think about it, drank sodas. And I really feel like there's been this health shift over the last, call it 20 years, where people are more aware of what they're eating. So what are you seeing driving people to your company?
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a mixture. I mean, obviously we have that core base of, you know, vegans and vegetarians. Who've kind of supported us since day one, and they're the people who are kind of most actively, you know, supporting us. But then I think the biggest group by far is the people who aren't vegetarian or vegan, you know, like 95% of the population. And, you know, some of them, you call them maybe flexitarians, they're just looking to reduce their meat intake a little bit for, you know, different reasons, health, environmental, ethical. So maybe it's a meatless Monday, maybe it's a few times a week they, you know, put plant-based meat on their plate. And that just represents a huge group of customers. And it's just a huge, I think, shift in focus. Because, it used to be like people, you know, you have to have meat with every meal. And now I think that really is.
So let's talk about this year and what we've seen with COVID-19 and just your business. Were people looking for just not having to go out of their house and the convenience when they were reaching out to you guys and ordering food? Or is it have to do also with being healthier and people wanting to, you know, strengthen their body and not expose themselves to foods that's going to compromise their immune system? So talk to us a little bit about what we've seen in 2020.
Absolutely. So, I mean, for us, as I mentioned before, we kind of have almost three different lines of business. So we've got the restaurant, butcher shop. Obviously, we kind of had to pivot that a little bit. I mean, we weren't hit too badly on the west coast of Canada with COVID, but we still, you know, people stopped eating at restaurants. So we shifted that to more of a delivery model with Uber Eats, reduce our operating hours, et cetera. But then we saw a significant growth in our grocery store channel. So grocery stores and retailers, and that's just because, you know, people are eating more at home. They're stocking up, they're doing a big grocery shop because, you know, they only want to come out, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks. And then the third channel online is we saw incredible growth there as well. People want the convenience, they want it delivered to their door. I think they're, in terms of what people are looking for, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. They're looking to eat healthier. I think there was also some concern about the source of coronavirus. You know, it came from potentially, you know, the wet markets in China, which were, you know, animal meat markets. So I think that helped shift, but I think this is just kind of a shift that's been happening for the past 2 years, and we're kind of almost hitting a tipping point here in terms of kind of interest and awareness around plant-based eating.
Mitchell, talk to us a little bit, if you would, about where the company was when you went on Dragon's Den and where the company is now with the recent IPO. And obviously there was no deal on Dragon's Den, but, you know, was that a blessing in disguise at the moment? Talk to us a little bit about, you know, then and now.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Dragon's Den, you know, it's like the Canadian Shark Tank. We went there, I'd say it was like November of 2018. So we did a Christmas special there, had a great result, had offers from five of the six dragons, ended up doing a handshake deal with two of them for $750,000 and $1 million interest-free loan for 10%. So, you know, valuing the company at $7.5 million at the time, which we were super happy with. Unfortunately, it didn't end up going through, which is apparently quite common with these deals. So we, you know, went through due diligence process, and then they ended up offering us less than they offered on TV. So we walked away from it. But the nice thing is just the publicity from that really helped us kind of legitimize us. It kind of justified that valuation that we had on TV. And that became the starting point when we're talking to new investors. So we were able to close a deal on that, you know, that same valuation. And I think overall, it turned out great for us, because I think if we'd gone that Dragon's Den path, we may have been a lot more, you know, influenced by them. So we may not have even considered this public route, which has, you know, worked out really great for us.
So you started in Canada, and now you have a presence in the U.S. New news. Talk to us a little bit about this, and obviously as it pertains to the demand that is coming from the retail.
Yeah. So currently we ship online across North America. So we've got significant demand from the States, you know, specifically California is really big for the demand. So, you know, we're shipping out thousands of boxes a week. And we've got demand from retail as well, but we're currently just in retail in BC and Alberta. We've actually just signed a lease about a month ago for a production facility in California. It's 25,000 square feet with a right of first refusal on an additional 25,000 square feet. And that should be up and running within the next 6 months or so. It's going to be able to produce about $90 million worth of product per year once it's fully scaled up and running. And the plan for this is to feed you know, the States, basically. So for our e-commerce and then also for retailers.
So Mitchell, you mentioned a $7 million valuation on Dragon's Den. Company is obviously a lot larger than that now. Talk to us a bit about the numbers, you know, revenue projections and where things are headed here. And, you know, as it pertains to how quickly this company is growing.
Yeah, absolutely. So last year, we did about $1 million in revenue. So that was 2019. For 2020, you know, we're on track to do, you know, 4 to 6, maybe more. You know, our run rate's in the $6 to $8 million range. And then the big thing holding us back has been production capacity. So we can't produce enough product to meet demand. And because we bootstrapped initially, we didn't have a lot of money to expand production and buy expensive equipment and all that. So now that we're cashed up, we can really put our foot on the gas and kind of expand production. So I mentioned this facility in California. So that should be up and running in 6 months, producing, you know, hopefully $90 million worth of product a year. We've got our facility in Vancouver as well, which is the kind of the big city in on the west coast of Canada. That's 10,000 square feet. It's going to be production, research and development, butcher shop, restaurant, test kitchen, just like a really cool HQ for us. And that should be able to do, you know, close to $60 million worth of product per year. That's looking like an early summer startup date. So, I mean, with those two facilities, we should be able to produce, you know, well over $100 million worth of product per year. In terms of demand, you know, can we actually sell that product? I think we can. As I mentioned before, we're already having to limit online orders. I think we can scale that up to the, you know, $2 to $4 million range per month relatively easily. We've got a ton of pent-up demand from our retail partners. You know, we've got companies, you know, that want to take us across Canada. They've got hundreds and hundreds of stores, and we just can't give them the product yet. So, wow. Yeah, that's what we're looking at for the next kind of year or so.
So what is the blue sky potential beyond that? I mean, can you share maybe goals beyond Canada, beyond the U.S.? I mean, where do you see this going in, you know, 5 or 10 years?
Absolutely. So the big focus for the next year or two is kind of capture the North American market with direct-to-consumer e-commerce, with, you know, traditional retail wholesale. After that, we're looking at Europe, and then after that, APAC, so Australia and Asia. Idea would be we go over there, we set up manufacturing, we roll out local e-commerce, we roll out retail wholesale, and then maybe we look at a flagship store location as well, like so a butcher shop restaurant, and use that as a marketing tool to drive awareness and growth for the brand. So, I mean, long term, I could see us. Yeah, we're gonna be a global brand.
So you got Beyond Meat. Any notable differences that you would separate between what you're doing and, you know, the big name Beyond Meat?
Yeah. So for us, our whole focus is just on a really clean ingredient deck. So, you know, all the ingredients on there, there's no preservatives, there's no isolates, there's no fillers. So great nutritionals, great taste, great flavor. And I think as people become more used to these meat alternatives, and you know, incorporating them into their everyday diets, they're going to start, I mean, yes, taste and texture are super important. You have to nail that. But they're going to start taking a closer look at what's actually on the package and what's inside these products. Since day one, our focus has been on just providing the, you know, healthiest, greatest tasting product. And then I think, the one other thing that I think differentiates us a bit is just our range of products. So we have bacon, steaks, pepperoni, we have that full butcher shop range. And then we're not just selling them in grocery stores and restaurants where, you know, we're selling direct to consumer online. We have our butcher shop. So we have kind of a varied business model as well.
If you would share a little bit more about that business model of cracking the code on taste and texture and health. I mean, what are you guys doing on the research and development side to make this happen?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I mentioned before, my co-founder James did all of our initial research and development. About a year ago, we started up a small R&D team in Vancouver. So we've got about four R&D techs working on kind of our next generation of plant-based products. All of our products currently are made with beans, veggies, herbs and spices, and then a bit of wheat flour to bind it all together. So they're working on developing a gluten-free line. They're looking at other protein sources. They're looking at fava beans. They're looking at chickpeas. They're looking at all these, kind of evaluating all these protein sources and then seeing how we can combine them to create the best tasting and the best textured meat alternatives possible. And then they're also just looking at different types, because, you know, every company has a burger and maybe a sausage. We're really looking at innovating in these other categories like steaks, bacon, pepperoni, ribs, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you ever run into like people with a moral conflict that, you know, they have an issue with eating meat. So why try to decorate something and make it meat, or, you know, have it be its own thing sort of thing? Anything you come across that at all?
I mean, I get that more from meat eaters than from people who are actually, you know, plant-based. Most people don't stop eating meat because they don't like the taste of meat, right? They stop eating meat because they don't like one of the other things, you know, the ethical concerns around factory farming, the environmental concerns with rainforest destruction, or maybe just for, you know, health concerns. So they stop eating meat because of that, but they still probably like the taste of meat and the texture of meat. So what we're trying to do is provide that experience to them. And when you think about it, like a burger or a sausage, that's not, yes, it's meat, but that's not like what the actual, if you just were to, you know, hack down a cow or something, it's not representative. It's been processed. A lot of times it's been seasoned. It's been designed into something that's delicious and tasty and fits nicely inside a bun.
Mitchell, congratulations on the growth, the success of the Very Good Food Company, the Very Good Butcher. If people want to learn more about you, your company specifically, where they can go, what they can expect to find, and, you know, obviously how they can partner with you as your company continues to do what it's doing.
Yeah, so best place is verygoodbutchers.com. There's a link to an investors page there, which has a bunch more information. We're also on social media at The Very Good Butchers, Instagram, Facebook. And yeah, please feel free to reach out and learn more.
Thank you so much for coming on the show with me today.
Perfect. Thanks so much for having me.